So. Ah, Ram Govinda ist also there. Yashoda Dulal, Prananath. Hare Krishna. I welcome all of you affectionately on this call. I'm extremely happy. Yadunath, I'm seeing Yadunath. You looked much younger the last time I saw you. very.
Older than I'm younger than that now.
And here is also Radhika Haribol. But before I greet everyone and forget someone, I better go and Prananath, you are also there. I better go right to the subject matter. It's a great pleasure for me to address all of you today. I'm very excited about my subject matter. That is strengthening our relationship to Lord Jagannath. As we all know, this would have been the time when we would be out in the big streets of the cities, New York, Los Angeles, Berlin, and would make the celebrated card festival, the festival of Lord Jagannath, something which we would do in three-dimensional space. We would meet many devotees and hug them. We would surprise many bystanders and onlookers who would become enthused by our bhakti. Now, this is not possible. I just received yesterday a request from the temple in Jagannath Puri, because they are pledging or requesting that many of us sign so that the a petition so that the Ratha Yatra festival in Puri can take place. But the government thinks this is a high risk and therefore requests that it does not take place. So there is not only in our own community, the devotee community of our movement, concern, and all over the world, this huge festival which attracts so many people cannot take place. So at this time, we have to ask ourselves, how can I celebrate the festival in my own heart? Let us not forget that any festival which we do, any ritual, any ceremony, any devotional or spiritual gathering is only successful when the transformation of the heart, which is a very personal thing, takes place. You may be in the festival, but as the saying says, at Ratha Yatra time, many thieves come also to the festival, because this is an ideal time to pickpocket unguarded pilgrims and take something. So the consciousness is essential. The thieves who go there to pickpocket, they do not have the same benefit, obviously, as those who make this festival a real festival where they think about their relationship to Lord Jagannath or to Krishna. So, I would love to start my little lecture today by highlighting that there are three ways in which you can enter a relationship with God. And of the three, one is always most successful. There is what is called in philosophy the Aropa City bhakti. It is that you perform some work that has no inherent connection with Krishna, and then offer the fruits to him. I would like to give an example. I could work as a computer programmer, and this work in itself has not much connection with bhakti. I could work for a company and so on. And then at the end, when I have received the paycheck, I could take a certain percentage from that and offer it to Krishna in the temple. This would be called attributive bhakti, where I take an activity, like for instance working, and then give the result of that activity to Krishna. And in this way, I would perform bhakti, but the activity itself, the work itself, has no inherited potency of bhakti. Then there is Sangha Siddhi bhakti. It is where I use certain things, like for instance sattvic living, or I could use breathing techniques of yoga, so that my spiritual activities can be supported. But again, this also has no inherent bhakti. And then there is the third form of bhakti. It's called Swarup Siddhi Bhakti, which has an inherent value of bhakti insight. I would like to give an example of this. It's hearing about Krishna, chanting his holy name, and doing all these activities, which inherently, that means in themselves, are full of Krishna's potency, or the potency of bhakti. It can liberate us from our karma, and it can attract us to Krishna. Now, Srila Prabhupada would always say, we must do the third style of bhakti. We must do the activities which bring Krishna immediately. If I just work for Krishna, or if I just have a good lifestyle that helps me to move forward, but I do not have an activity which directly injects bhakti into my heart and my brain, then I'm not really able to make advancement. I must, in order to strengthen my relationship to Krishna and Jagannath, do something that has inherently bhakti in it, that calls Krishna immediately on the lotus of my heart, and that makes me immediately connected with him. Prabhupada once gave a lecture in Mayapur, and while he was lecturing, he saw that some devotees got up and left the lecture to do some work for Krishna. And he gave a very strong response. He said, "Why are they going? They are busy in some other work? Ugra Kama, without hearing, what will he do? Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. This is our main business. If you don't hear, what will you do? You will do simply sense gratification. That's all." That is the difficulty. We are not very much interested in hearing. And that is the main business. Our bhakti begins with hearing about Krishna and glorifying Krishna. These are, if you so want, Swarup Siddhi Bhakti. This is the direct activity where you spend time with Krishna. When I think of hearing a lecture, When I think about chanting the holy name, I think about being together with Krishna. And for any relationship, you know, if you want to strengthen it, you need to spend time. When I'm hearing about Krishna, I'm thinking, here is a seat. And Krishna now takes his seat and is there in my life. When I'm chanting the holy names of Krishna, I think, now I make a long walk with Krishna. 2 hours walk, where I'm being together. And in this way, the relationship with Krishna is developing. Like all of our lives, who are now in lockdown, I think we are sometimes missing our regular activities, the activities which we are accustomed to. There is now a void, an emptiness, which was filled with so many activities. I always say, use this void and invite Krishna personally by this third type of bhakti, which has inherently Krishna's presence. This shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, you know, where you meditate about Krishna, vandanam, where you pray about Krishna, and where you hear directly about Krishna. This is not the time now for using our skills in doing some thing extraordinary for Krishna. This is not so much the time for working and making money for Krishna. This is the time for being with Krishna. And I want to give you a little example of what that could mean by telling you directly a beautiful pastime about Krishna. When devotees come together and listen together about Krishna, something wonderful happens by their intention to be mindful of Krishna. Krishna can become really manifest in their Sangha. So I hope that today, Syam Hari Prabhu, Ram Govinda Das, Yarunath, Prananath, Madan Gopal, and everyone who is out there, I hope that Krishna will manifest in your heart so that your relationship with Krishna will be really ecstatic, will be really very alive. Let me, before starting, ask you a question. What is the difference between just existing and the other living? I would say when you just exist, you go with the flow. But when you live, you will find your own flow. When you just exist, you just survive somehow. But when you live, you thrive, you blossom. You come forward, you are alive, and you sweat with excitement. When you just exist, then you just think, oh, what is it that I have to do today? When you really live, you do what you really want to do. When you just exist, you seek your security that I somehow get over. But when you live, you are seeking new discoveries and new excitement in your life. When you just exist, then you think, my life is so controlled by so many things I have to do. But when you live, you're saying, I'm in control of my life. I can do what is really exciting for me. When you just exist, you somehow think, how can I get through the day? And then in the evening, I can just rest and eat my healthy food. When you live, you look forward. This project is there. This project is there. That project is there. When you just exist, you always look for an escape. When are the next holidays? Or when does the evening come when I can sleep? When you really live, then there is nothing for you to escape from. So I could go on like this. But I want to ask you a question. Do you exist? Or do you live? Ram Govinda, this is a good question, no? We should live in a... we should see that we come alive. And this is what happens when you enter a relationship with Krishna. All of a sudden, your world opens. All of a sudden, there is hope. All of a sudden, there is excitement. I think from psychology, you all know this. Most of you, I'm looking now at the names which I can see. Yes, most of you live in a relationship. Remember the time when you met your spouse, your partner, or a very good friend. You thought, wow, now I can start living. Now a new world will open for me. And new opportunities are there. I will live now differently from what I lived before. Now imagine, just imagine this one point, that you are sincerely strengthening your relationship with the Lord of the universe. Wow! Then really, cosmos will open, a new universe will open, and nothing is difficult any longer, because relationship means something is happening, an exchange. And all those who have described their relationship to Krishna have always mentioned one thing which came to them, that is new arrangements. Krishna made arrangements for them. New strengths. This is called bhakti. Bhakti gives you chladini. It gives you joy. Chladini. And it gives you a new type of knowledge, a new vision. In this way, you are empowered and you're doing things which you were not considering before. So strengthening your relationship to Krishna will always bring you into a totally new life. And the best way to strengthen your relationship with Krishna is to hear about him, how he is, what he likes, what are his desires, how he is dressed. This is important for Matajis, I understand. They think, when they think about life, they think about how do I dress for this occasion? How do I dress for that occasion? Everything. You have to learn everything about Krishna. And then, your relationship will blossom in your heart. Lord Chaitanya described it as if a seed gets water. When a seed gets water, it grows into a fragrant flower. So when you hear about Krishna, that seed-like quality, that seed-like bhakti gets new nourishment, and you begin to blossom and develop. So, are you ready to hear about Krishna? Siam Hari, ready? Good. I Ram Govinda, ready? Good. Prananad and Divya Radhika, ready? Good. This is about Lord Jagannath. Once in Dvaraka, in Krishna's palace, a big, big problem arose. Krishna was lying unconscious in his room. And he had not come out for many hours. Those who dared to open the door, they could hear him calling out in his unconscious state, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And they quickly moved out of the room and thought, puff, puff. He must break his fainting spell. He's under a fainting spell. Imagine God lies unconscious on the floor for too long. Then the whole universe has to stop breathing. Nothing is possible any longer. So they came wishing to solve the situation. At that time, as if by providence, Narada and Uddhava arrived. They were quickly ushered into the room where Krishna was lying under his fainting spell. And they started to discuss. Narada said, we must wake him up. Our Lord cannot stay for long like this. But Uddhava said, that is problematic. Do you hear what he is saying in each outgoing breath? He's mentioning the name of Radha. He thinks of Radharani. When he wakes up and comes out of his fainting spell, he will want to rush to Vrindavan, and that will be dangerous. He will stay in Vrindavan and never return. Oh, said Narada Muni, this is indeed a problem. If Krishna wakes up, then we have a bigger problem than if he is unconscious. But both problems are tolerable. What can we do in this situation? Narada and Uddhava were in anxiety. How could they bring Krishna back to full consciousness? Just then Balaram arrived, and again they discussed, and Balaram decided, we must somehow break his unconscious mood, we must bring him out of his coma. That is our first concern. So we suggest that Narada Muni takes his veena and sings songs about Vrindavan. Narada Muni Bajai Veena Radhika Ramana Namane. There's this song Radhika, Narada Muni plays on his veena and sings beautifully about Radhika Ramana, about the pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So Narada Muni was just about to sing, because he knew this would wake up Krishna. But then again this fear came over him. He will wake up and we will want to go to Vrindavan, But what is the condition of the people in Vrindavan? Since Krishna has left there, they are also in coma. The cowherd boys are lying in the forest, hardly breathing, thinking of Krishna. Nanda and Yashoda are crying tears that Krishna has left them. There is a channel, a river of tears flowing through Vrindavan from the eyes of from Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Everyone is agonized. So we must send someone tell the people, Krishna is coming, before we wake Krishna up, and then they get their Vrindavan together. They make nice decorations, they wear happy cloth, they are enthusiastic. Uddhava, you are Krishna's reliable messenger. You should go now to Vrindavan and tell them that we are just about to wake up Krishna, and then he will run to Vrindavan and you should give him a happy welcome. When Uddhava heard this, he became most morose and he said, Narada Muni, I cannot neglect the request of an advanced devotee like you. But there is one problem. They won't believe me. I was once sent by Krishna to Vrindavan to tell all the residents of Vrindavan that Krishna would soon come. And I said it. I waited 9 months there for Krishna to come. He did not come. When I went back defeated, because I said one thing and it didn't happen, and I asked Krishna, are you coming? You said to me you would come and now you have not come. Then Krishna told me that I will come maybe the day after tomorrow. And I understood for some reason he cannot come. So I think that I should not go. I think Balaram, the brother of Krishna, should go, and he should bring this message. We are just, Narada Muni is singing to wake Krishna up from his fainting spell, and then Krishna will come to Vrindavan, but you please get Vrindavan together. Balaram said, it won't work. Because I also came in the past to Vrindavan. I also said Krishna will come. But then Vasudev and Devaki and Dvaraka forbade Krishna to go because they feared Krishna would not return to Dvaraka once he would go to Vrindavan. Therefore, no one will believe me. So as Balaram was talking, his face started to change. He got long eyes. He became pale, paler than white. And he started to think, they love Krishna so much in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the area of love. And he started to become influenced. His eyes became, wow! So at this time, the sister, Subhadra, came and said, oh, you complicated man. You always make things complicated. Let me go. I'm the messenger. I will quickly go to Vrindavan and I say, please, make everything ready for Krishna. Krishna is already suffering the pangs of separation in Dvaraka from you. If he comes now and he sees you all lying like dead people around, you just take a shower and you get up. And I will sit on the lap of Mother Yashoda. And I will wipe with my own hands the tears from her cheek. And she will say, yes, daughter, what is your message? And I will say, Krishna is just about to come. We women, we can communicate very easily between each other. We don't lie to each other. And Mother Yashoda, who is the queen of Vrindavan, will inform everyone after having been informed by me. But this parampara is very good. Okay, said everyone, now we have a solution. Subhadra will go first. Then Balaram said, Subhadra is my sister. I mean, who will allow his sister to go down the road without being in good male company? I will first go on my chariot, then I will clear the road for Subhadra, and then Subhadra will come after me and inform Yashoda. Those of you who know Ratha Yatra, they begin to feel, aha, aha. In Ratha Yatra also, the card of who goes first? Balaram. Balaram, yes. I can hear you even though you are, what is it called, muted. Balaram goes first. Then who comes next? Subhadra, I can read it from your lips correctly. And who comes last? Yeah, but there's one person who comes before Jagannath. Sudarshan Chakra. Yes, but Jagannath. So this was how it was done. Balaram got into his chariot, drove from Dwaraka in the direction of Vrindavan. Subhadra came next, came after it. And then Daruka, the chariot driver of Krishna, was informed that please prepare the chariot. Krishna will soon come out of his room and he will want to go to Vrindavan. So, everything was set up like this. Then Narada Muni began to sing, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan, and so on. Many, many Vrindavan related songs. Krishna came out of his sleep. He looked around. His first question is, where is my flute? In Dwaraka, Krishna does not play his flute. He feels, oh, these people are not appreciating sweet music, sweet song, madhur, the sweet, sweet atmosphere, which I can have in Vrindavan. And he then started to run. I must go to Vrindavan. And Narada Muni said, my lord, everything is arranged. You don't have to run to Vrindavan. It's a long way. We have arranged Daruka with the chariot. So Krishna came out of Dwaraka's house. But how did he come out? He began to sway left and right. Left and right. Have you ever seen someone overwhelmed with love? He will not usually go very, how do you say, very straight. He will be very joyful. I think it might happen to the son of Madan Gopal in Manasi Ganga. He might soon find the New Jersey Tobacco Temple an appropriate person. And then people come home, and we'll just be overwhelmed with love. You can tell your son, I have made a prophecy. But maybe after some years, So in this way, Lord Krishna came out of the gates of the temple, of Dwaraka. Those of you who have read the Chaitanya Charitamrita are reminded of the initial ceremony when Lord Jagannath is brought out of the temple. He is moving left and he's moving right. He has a crown made of flowers, because that's the ornaments in Vrindavan are flowers. Radha and Krishna use flowers mostly. Flower shoes, flower decorations, flower crowns. And he is not moving in a straight line. He is moving like this, like a person overwhelmed, supremely empowered by divine love. In this way, Krishna left the gates of Dwaraka and went into his chariot, which was driven by Daruka, into the beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan. As he entered the beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan, Balaram and Subhadra had informed the Brijbasis. And as he stepped into Vrindavan, the trees began to sprout fresh flowers. The bumblebees who had been asleep rose and they felt the touch of their master, Krishna's feet. All of Vrindavan came to life. And Krishna entered a particular place called Nidovan. In this place, Srimati Radharani had been lying. She had been accompanied by her girl companions, and she was not in consciousness. She had also fainted, like Krishna in Vrindavan, in Dwaraka, had fainted. They had met in their dreams. That's why Krishna, when he was lying on the floor, had always chanted Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. So Radharani was in a critical condition. Those who attended to her brought a cotton swab and placed it before her nostrils to see if any of the fine hairs of the cotton swab was moving. In this way they would detect if there was breath, in and outgoing breath. And there was almost no breath. At that time, Krishna arrived at the gates of Nidovan, this garden where Radha and her attendants were sitting. And, where Radha was lying and the attendants were there. And as he saw from the distance Radharani, his eyes became very big and very round. And around his eyes a red substance formed. It's called Sudakar, which is forming when a person has a lot of compassion, a lot of feeling for someone. Then a little red spot will develop. Now, on the left corner of the eyes, in the right corner. But here, Krishna's whole eyes were surrounded by the redness. He was really thinking of Srimati Radharani. And at that time, Lalita saw Krishna, and she only said three words: Krishna has come. This was the mantra which brought Radharani back. But even before the words Krishna had come entered into the subconscious mind, the fragrance of Krishna entered through the nostrils of Radharani and woke her up. The fragrance was faster than the words, because whenever Krishna appears, he comes with all his divine attributes, and he brings all his life to his surrendered devotees. There's a beautiful prayer. It says, like a person dying from thirst is revived by 100 pots of cool Ganges water. Like a person who has been dying is revived by a powerful rasayana. Like a person who is drowning in an ocean and is already underneath the water surface, is saved by a boat. In the same way, you save your devotees by your direct darshan. When someone has the direct darshan of Krishna, his thirst and his hunger and all his miseries are very quickly removed. And this Krishna now came to give his direct darshan to Srimati Radhika. And in this way, the divine couple met again. First through the eyes. Krishna had seen Radha. His eyes were very big. Jagannath and Radha had seen Krishna through her eyes. Yes, this is the confidential meaning of Ratha Yatra. Ratha Yatra means that Krishna is coming out of the confines of a place where there are so many rules. You know, in the temple, oh, how many rules there are to worship Lord Jagannath. And he's tired of these, and he comes to the area of pure, unadulterated, unmixed love in Vrindavan, where he again meets Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and his friends, who ride on his shoulders and who say, what type of strong man are you if you have lost the wrestling match against me? In Vrindavan, Krishna is again connected with the Srimati Radharani, and this pure and unmixed and unadulterated love. See, spiritual realization happens in three stages. First, when you start to think about God, you think of him as the omnipresent, omnipowerful, that force which pervades everything, that vastness which is not at all personalized, it's the Brahman. Then the yogis go a step further. They want to meet this divine presence, and they know he's in the heart as the super soul, the inner guide. In other words, the one who also relates. And then to go one step further even is, he's the one who's engaged in unbounded lilas, unbounded pastimes. And one of these pastimes I just wanted to share with you before, because it is related to Vrindavan, and sorry, to Lord Jagannath and the Ratha Yatra festival. I want to just say, Krishna, when he saw Radhika, he saw her tremendous pangs of separation, and immediately the eight sattvika bhavas, symptoms of ecstasy, seized him powerfully, so much so that his limbs started to enter his body, just like the limbs of a turtle can enter the shell of the turtle. His neck pushed inside, his hands and legs pushed inside, and he was staring with big and dilated eyes on Radhika, who was lying motionless there. This is the form of Lord Jagannath. He feels extensive separation from Radha. It's sometimes said like a log of wood that floats in an ocean. Lord Jagannath floats in an ocean of Radha Bhava. That is there. That is absolutely there. Krishna, when he saw that Radha came back to life, pronounced something which is very dear to me and which I want to also pronounce today at the end of this katha. Rasa Raja Mahabhava Eka Tanuhaya Nama Sankirtana Rase Jagat Mataya. To those jivas who are very fortunate, I will give the opportunity to relish this prema rasa through sankirtan. When we engage in the chanting of this, it's called the Yuga Mantra, Radha Hare Krishna or Radha Krishna, when we engage in this chanting and at the same time meditate about Krishna, best long for Krishna's presence, then at that time something very wonderful will happen to our heart. First of all, our mind will become still and calm, and then in that still and calm mind, which happens as you sing and do the kirtan, you will be able to enter more and more and deeper, and then find the rare jewels of love of Krishna. This is the pronunciation of Krishna, that this tremendous divine taste can be tasted by all those who are engaged in chanting the names of Radha and Krishna. But the mind has to be still. The mind has to be absorbed. The waves of the daily thoughts need to stop. I remember we had a very, very nice holy name retreat outside of New York with many senior devotees, and Madan Gopal was also there. That's when we actually met. And somehow there was a lot of blessing over this one retreat. I remember one older devotee, Dravida, was there, and they would chant, and Bada Hari was there singing. And at times I do remember these older devotees feeling so much taste that they began to cry even. I remember on the 64 rounds day there was a lot of things happening. Strengthening our relationship. My dear devotees, there is a dimension in your life which you might not have yet touched. It's a deep dimension which lies hidden and covered under the many, many things you do. And let us be a little bit thoughtful today. Are we just existing in our devotional life? Where we just go through the practices which we have learned? Or are we already living in our relationship with Krishna? Krishna invites all of us to a very serious relationship. It has been made possible, or this invitation works for all of those who can somehow make the chanting work for them. But sometimes it's so simple that you might overlook it. I will end with the only joke which I know. I don't know many jokes, but I know one, a very philosophical joke. It is about Nasruddin, the Sufi master who used to teach through jokes. Nasruddin was coming every once in a month to the border. He rode on his donkey and he looked very distressed. He said, "I am a terrible swindler. I'm a cheater. I'm a smuggler. I'm just now smuggling." "Oh, come on, Nasruddin. You're a pious man," said the people who worked at the border, the toll people. "What are you smuggling?" Nasruddin said, "That's not my business to tell you. I'm a smuggler. I will not tell you. You must find out. That's why you get paid." And they checked him, but there was nothing. He says, "Just a woolen coat, some little basket with some straw for his donkey." That was all. So he said, "Come on, you may go." Next month he was there. He looked really sad. "Oh, I can't believe that I'm again smuggling." "What are you smuggling, Nasruddin?" "I'm not going to tell you. You have to find out." "Okay, Nasruddin, you are forcing us." So they took his woolen coat and began to boil it because they thought maybe there's some hashish or something in there. Nothing was there. "Go, go, go, go." Then the next month, again he was there. They looked in the little basket where there was the hay. Nothing. Next month, they made the donkey, poor donkey, vomit. Nothing. There was no gold inside the stomach of the poor. Then, when one of the toll people was old, he met Nasruddin. And he said, "Nasruddin, you came every month and said you were smuggling, but we didn't find anything. But we were seeing just next to the border, you were building a palace. You made so much money. What were you smuggling? And Nasruddin just looked at him and said, donkeys. He always each month brought a donkey, a new donkey, over the border, sold it for profit, then went back, got a new donkey, and brought the new donkey the next month over the border, sold it, so good profit, and in this way he was able to build a whole palace. It was so simple that the tall people missed it. So Krishna consciousness and our relationship to Krishna is very simple, but we might miss it. We just need to call the name of Krishna in the proper way with absorption that will go beyond the universe, reach the eye of the ear of Krishna, and he will reciprocate in a divine relationship. And we need to hear more about Krishna, how he thinks, how he is. And in this way, our life becomes extremely simple. The relationship is already there. We just need to remove what is in the way, what is distracting us, what is bewildering us. And that is the beautiful process of Krishna consciousness. I had prepared in my other notebook four verses where it is said how we increase our relationship to Krishna. But today I just wanted to say, make sure that in your life you have this Swarup Siddhi Bhakti, these activities which directly, inherently have Krishna. Like, therefore I told you the Krishna Katha or the chanting. Don't just work. Don't just be busy. Even if it is good service, try to understand devotional service or bhakti means shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, vandanam, etc. And these things will help you to uncover and discover your relationship with Krishna so that you will not only exist, but that you start to live on the spiritual platform. I am now very, very... I have said what I wanted to say. I see there are 3 more minutes on my little tyrant, my clock. Maybe, what should we do? I mean, now it's only 2 more minutes. I want to ask you, I think I have to finish this call, because when do we have to start? At 7 o'clock. Aha, we have 1 hour time. So we can ask a few questions. Please do it again like before, that you send your questions to Madan Gopal on the chat box, and Madan Gopal will ask the questions to me.
Yes, thank you, Guru Maharaj. So we have one question from Sonam. The question is, as you say in Japa Inspiration, the mind will run away, but we have to bring it back. And this whole process of bringing it back becomes very cumbersome. How can we improve in this process so the mind becomes more stable?
Every person will like to go to that which is tasteful. Like when we hear the news that in the kitchen, which is underneath this floor where I'm presently speaking to all of you, When we hear that the food is ready, the prasadam is ready, then we will naturally go there because we feel attracted to go. Attraction is a pulling force which pulls everyone to whatever they are attracted to. And in bhakti, we should more count on that pulling force than the pushing force, where we discipline ourselves, where we drive ourselves to something. You have to find out how to make your sadhana an experience that you like. The spur to practice, you have to see how you can make it more attractive. I would like to give you an example. Today, I was very tired in the morning, and when I got up, I was not feeling so very inclined to chant the holy names, because it is an effort to breathe out, to pronounce the names, and to concentrate. And I knew I could now push myself through my 16 rounds, or I could see if I could make this an experience by which I would be pulled through it. And what I always do in order to, when I'm not so inclined, I read prayers, and somehow the voice of the prayers brings me prayers from the acharyas. It brings me to a mood, a devotional mood, where I'm more alive, and then I start to chant. You can see in our temples the devotees chant the Shikshastakam prayers sometimes, but as with every practice, when you do it a long time again and again and you are not mindful really while you do it, then it loses its attractive charm. The power goes out. The attraction power goes out. So when you want to come alive with feelings that pull you, feelings of attraction, I always recommend to read prayers, read the English translation of them, and then you feel, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, ha Krishna. And then the pulling force of bhakti works. It could be other practices also which you do that can help you. And then I want to give you one advice, however, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given about chanting. When you still, after reading prayers, and still you are not in a favorable mood, in a good mood, what you can do is, you can, when you chant, focus your mind on the vibration of the holy name and keep that in the heart. And I recommend, why start to be focused on all the names of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Start with one name, Hare only. So you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now it comes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you connect your mind and your heart with the first Hare. And you keep it in your heart. After some time, you break through the matrix of diversion and distraction. And you somehow are in that space, in that heart space, which is now filled with the entire mantra. If you want to know more, watch when I come the next time to America, and if that ever happens again, I think it will, and there will be a japa retreat, and I will teach this very systematically, how to bring the mind to a space where it feels attracted and bound to the vibration of the holy name. What is the next question, Madan Gopal?
Yes, the next question is from Ram Govind Prabhu.
Ram Govind, I put my glass on because I see him. Haribo, Ram Govind. Yes, what is the question?
He asks, in the proclamation of Krishna, which you mentioned, the proclamation is, I will give them the opportunity to relish this prema rasa through sankirtan. The question is, by sankirtan, is it speaking of namakirtan, congregational chanting, or is our japa also referred to in this statement, or is it a combination of both, sankirtan?
Yeah. Nam Sankirtan usually means singing. Japa usually means a meditative, silent repetition of the mantra. However, when the holy names are used in japa, it is no longer only a meditative practice. It enters into the realm of glorification, which is a loud or vocal process. So we chant, normally japa means to chant very softly, just merely audible. For instance, we do the mantra japa with the Gayatri mantra. But in japa, there is also the audible version, and in fact, we are related. So, strictly speaking, it is through kirtan, means singing together with many. Strictly speaking, that is most powerful in the age of Kali. And you can see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the process of singing together with the devotees in unison in as the most important process. He is known as the Kirtanacharya, not the Japa Acharya. No? So, but you can come during your japa close to the same blessings, so to say. But yes, Ram Govinda, if you can have kirtan with many sankirtan, it is more powerful because it will immediately, when you sit in kirtan, it will purify the turbulent mind much faster than in japa. To do good japa, you need a peaceful mind. That is at least easier then. In kirtan, you can come in whatever mindset you are, and after some time, if you're just focusing on hearing and singing, you come to the into, let us call it, the kirtan zone. Therefore, Sanatan Goswami also says kirtan works better than japa because kirtan purifies the turbulent mind, whereas in japa you work with the turbulent mind and hope after some time it comes through. So therefore, in general understanding, and I think we should also stay with the general understanding, when here Krishna says, I will give the opportunity to relish the love through sankirtan, Krishna refers to sitting together with many. Sang means many. In japa, you are alone. Even if you sit with many in the room, in the temple room, you're not listening to them. You're listening to you chanting. No? And so, yeah. So nice to see everyone. My dear devotees, I do know, okay, let's have this. There is maybe one more question we can take, Madan Gopal, and then you all have to allow me to get off this call to do something else. Mm-hmm.
One more question. My question is, when we hear from you, it is very powerful, that so powerful. In the middle of the class, we make a very deep commitment to ourselves that, wow, this is, I'm going to make a quantum leap in Krishna conscious progress. This is extremely important. I'm feeling the ecstasy of that freedom that I can see the end of the tunnel now, the light. I'm going to apply this in my life. And I make such a strong resolution, and I feel so happy in the middle of the class that this is fantastic. But unfortunately, I'm not able to protect that strong determination of feeling. While I'm face to face with you, I'm enjoying it and I'm feeling very hopeful. But then 2-3 hours later, it can get flooded and washed away by the interaction with the world and so on. So perhaps if you could give us some suggestions or maybe attitude change or something that we could protect more strongly these determinations that come up when we're hearing this powerful katha, to strengthen us and protect it.
Yeah. There is a powerful practice that can help us to protect our bhakti. It is a package with three practices. The first is you need to, on an ongoing basis, study the philosophy, because it puts your mind and your intelligence into the right direction. Then you need to find persons in your life or people who show you through their lives that it is practical to live by the philosophy, inspiring association. And then finally, you need to have practice. These three things will not only safeguard, like a fence, your enthusiasm, but they will nourish your enthusiasm and strengthen your enthusiasm. Philosophy, people, and practice. But there is something else going on here. When people in the morning hear the alarm clock, there are three types of people. The first people are, they hear the alarm clock and they choose to continue to sleep. Maybe even kill the alarm clock. The second type of people, they put the alarm clock on snooze. Do you have this function in your alarm clock? And it will come back to you after 5 minutes. And the third type of people, they get up from their bed. So in the same way, we have three types of people who hear spiritual philosophy. They hear it, and it wakes them up. But then they say, no, let me go to bed again. Let me sleep. Let me continue my life as usual. That's the majority of the people. Then come those who put their spiritual life on snooze function. Not just now. Tomorrow. And then there is the third person who says, enough is enough. I'm now going to start. And I have a surprise for you. I have seen that sometimes not everyone is able to say, okay, now I'm going to actually start. Sometimes the time is not yet there. We hear this in the life of many sadhus who were hearing the wake-up call and who wanted to also respond to it, but their time came a little later. So at that time, Madan Gopal, you have to be a patient. You have to learn that, and you have to protect your Shraddha, your faith, by this formula of the three P's. Philosophy, people, practice. That will help you. I have really done a study. It's not by your intellect that you start. Strengthening a relationship, you need also the power of the devotees who help you. All the mercy of Krishna, some kripa which comes, and then you understand. So I want to thank now every one of you. We have gone 15 minutes over time. I want to let you go. And I want to do also something else. I will just pull in Gokrishna into the... Wait. Here, see my... Here is Gokrishna. some of you know him. He was arranging... He is the host on this side. So I thank you very, very much. All the best. Ah, Ratna Radhika is also there. And Vegavati, Suravi, Diksha, wow, Amalananda, MCD, and everything. Naveen Krishna, Sundar Hari, I hope, Dira Govinda, Singheshwari, and so many of you. I see you all. I thank you very, very much. I wish you all the best. And nowadays we see each other through the computer. Hope to see you again. I will soon give a bhakti course, a wonderful bhakti course in cooperation with the Bhakti Center, but I understand Tovako Temple is there. All kinds of temples in America participate with their congregation. So you may please join. You can find the details in the computer, on my Facebook.